It's good to have you here with me again today. And yesterday, I told you how we'll go about answering the question, how does a person become holy? Over the last few weeks, we've established that God wants us to be holy, but how do we accomplish that? Yesterday, we also set up camp in the book of Romans. That's in the Bible's New Testament. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and then Romans. How does God make us holy? I answered in one word, gospel. Gospel. G-O-S-P-E-L. God makes us holy through the gospel. And you say, what is the gospel? And I say, that's exactly what I want to describe to you. Thanks for asking. Whatever it is, it's through the gospel that God makes people holy. So we better know what God means by the gospel. To get us going, I read about the gospel in Romans chapter 1 and invited you to read all of Romans 1 for today. If that was too much, I negotiated your reading down to Romans 1, verses 16 through 17. Overachievers were to memorize those verses. I hope you took my invitation seriously. You'll learn a lot more if you are also reading Romans on your own before, during, and after our time together each weekday. And what does Romans 1, verses 16 through 17 say? Let me read it. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. That's the theme of the book, because right there the author tells you what the gospel is. But before we get to this, today I want to tell you who wrote this book of Romans. Romans is a letter that was written by a man named Paul. Listen as I read Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. This is the opening sentence of the letter. Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. The very first word is his name, Paul. That's how they wrote letters in those days. Now, he wrote this most likely in AD 56. That's not exactly recent. They started with the name of the person who is writing the letter. Now, today, we don't write letters for the most part anymore. That's a lost art. Even emails seem antiquated. But I use email, and if I write to you, I'll start with your name, not my name. Let's say your name is Rita. Then I'll say, Dear Rita, and in the end of the email, Grace and Peace Mark. I start with the name of the person I'm sending this to and end with my name. But here, Paul starts with his name. This letter is from Paul to, as we don't read until verse 7, the saints at a place called Rome. Who is Paul? Well, we know a lot about him, but so as to keep us focused, let's understand what Paul says about himself right here in verse 1. He tells his readers three things about himself. First, Paul is a bond servant of Christ Jesus. Second, Paul is called as an apostle. And third, Paul is set apart for the gospel of God. Paul is the bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Let me take these one at a time. First, Paul is a bondservant of Christ Jesus. What does he mean by this? He means that he is a slave of Christ. Jesus Christ is the master, and Paul is the slave. Now, we in America will have difficulty using this kind of language today because of our shameful past. Human slavery is sin. It is always and under all circumstances wrong, and it can never be tolerated by any of us. God is clearly anti-slavery. Except when it comes to the nature of the relationship between Christ and his followers. This is a master-slave relationship, and that's how the author of Romans, Paul, saw it. I'll tell you what the Greek word, at least the Greek root word, is here for slave. It's doulos. Doulos. It means slave, someone who belongs to another. And all Christians are slaves. We are slaves to Christ. We belong to him. He owns us. Listen to another letter that Paul wrote. It's the first letter to the Corinthians. And in it, he describes the master-slave relationship with the image of being purchased, being bought at a slave market. I'm reading 1 Corinthians 6, part of verse 19 and verse 20. You are not your own. For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. Imagine yourself in slavery to sin, whipped by sin, mastered by sin, controlled and dominated by sin, and you're up on the auction block being sold from one sin to the next as the CEO of the slave market, Satan, watches on. But into the slave market comes Jesus Christ, and he buys you. He pays the price for your sin, and now he frees you from the slavery of sin. You walk out that door, a free woman, a free man, never to turn back to sin. You walk out with Jesus, but you still have a master. He's the master, Jesus. Paul tells the Corinthians, you are not your own. And we Christ followers are not our own. We belong to Christ. He is the master. We are his slaves for life. We are no longer in bondage to sin, but we are happily, willingly in bondage to Jesus Christ. Jesus is our master. And let me add this, the fact that Paul starts his description of who he is with bondservant, slave, doulos, is significant because he's writing to people in the context of Rome who despised even the idea of being a slave. The Romans adored and worshipped power. If you know anything about the ancient Romans, surely you know this. Think emperors and gods, small g. Think empire, dominant world empire, conquer the globe kind of thinking. And the power-hungry Romans enslaved millions of people, literally millions, to be their servants. And so here comes Paul. And he's going to want to establish his credibility, right? I mean, in the opening line of his letter, he's going to want to say, I'm credible. You'd think he'd want to talk about how competent he is and how well qualified and how impressed they should be with him. You would think Paul would want to play to power. He knew the Romans were obsessed with power, but instead he intentionally emphasizes two words in bond servant, slave, doulos. Paul is saying, I am first and foremost a slave of Christ. Now, if you have your Bible there, look with me at verse 1 again. If you do not have your Bible with you, then just listen. Paul says he is not only a bond servant, but he is a bond servant of Christ Jesus. Paul is a slave of Christ Jesus. And I want to take time to mention two comments about the phrase Christ Jesus. First, notice the order, Christ, then Jesus. Here he reverses the typical order of Jesus Christ, and he does so to emphasize Christ. What does Christ mean? Well, it is not Jesus' last name. I am Mark Swallow, first name Mark, last name Swallow. It is not first name Jesus, last name Christ. It's not. Christ has deep meaning. It means anointed one. Jesus was anointed or chosen by God for a specific task, to save the sinner from sin, to take away our sin. So Paul is emphasizing the one to whom I am slave is the anointed of God who has taken away my sin. Christ has come on mission from God to buy Paul from the slave market of sin. And so Paul is a slave to Christ. He is not just saved from sin, but he is saved to Christ, same as every Christian. And I'll say more about this as we move along. Second thing I want you to notice about the phrase of Christ Jesus is this. Paul is focused on Christ Jesus. You want to make it your habit to read Paul's letters. They're recorded all throughout the Bible's New Testament. And when you read them, you will see this pop up all over the text. He's always and forever writing about Jesus Christ, or as he puts his name here, Christ Jesus. Paul's obsessed with Jesus. But just by way of what I consider to be the greatest of Paul's statements concerning Jesus, listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's 1 Corinthians 2:2. And Paul is concise. His number one priority, his life goal, is to know Jesus Christ. That's it. Let me read to you again 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. These are the words of Paul. And that's a great word for us to end on today. Dear Christian, is your sole focus in life to know Jesus Christ and him crucified? Is your life centered around Jesus? Just think back for a moment over your day today. Be honest. How much time did you spend thinking about Jesus? Have you spoken to him today in prayer? Did you at any time, even this afternoon, catch yourself daydreaming of Christ? Did you talk about him with a colleague, a student, an Uber or bus driver, a stranger in line at Dunkin' Donuts, or maybe with a family member? Did you discuss Jesus with your kids? Are you going to read the life and ministry and words of Jesus before you go to bed tonight? Is he the man you model your life after? Do you most want to be like Jesus? Do you think about him constantly? Paul did. Paul was obsessed with Jesus Christ, and we must be too. And then perhaps you're listening and you do not know Christ. You've never been introduced to him. Well, I'm happy to make such an introduction. You can stick with me here each day at this same time, and you can email me, and we'll talk about Jesus. My email is mark@markaswallow.com, mark@markaswallow.com, and that'll be repeated in just a few moments. So stick with me on this broadcast. We're going to learn a lot about Jesus here on God Is. We learned three things about Paul in this opening verse of Romans chapter 1. First, Paul is a bond servant of Christ Jesus. Second, Paul is an apostle. And third, Paul is set apart for the gospel of God. We only had time today to cover the first of these three, and so when we get together tomorrow, I'm going to proceed to the second one. Please join me again tomorrow, if you would, for God is...